pulpit side, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is a praise psalm, and it is acclaiming to God that he is God. That God is God. Well, who else, what else in the universe would God be other than God, right? Unless there is a such thing as other gods. There's a whole array of Greek gods. You may recognize some of these. There's Zeus, god of the sky. There's Apollo, god of music, art, medicine, and later the sun. There's Ares, god of war. Poseidon, god of the sea and of that movie, The Poseidon Adventure. There's Hypnos, god of sleep. Hypnotized, get it? Here's Nike, god of victory and those famous shoes. In addition to these, there is a whole myriad of other gods, and that's just according to the Greeks. It seems that almost every culture throughout history has created, quote unquote, other gods for their civilization, for their civilization's protection and production. The Bible specifically mentions two other gods, Baal and Ashtoreth, false gods of the pagans. So let's just set the story straight, set the record straight. There are a ton of other gods. There always has been. And until Christ comes again, on this earth there always will be. Verse 3 of Psalm 95 reads this way, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." This is just one place throughout the 150 Psalms where the Psalms affirm that the Bible people fully understood that Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, was just one God among many gods. Throughout the Psalms, as you read through them, you'll find where it says that he is Lord of lords, he is King of kings, he is God of gods, but always when it refers to the Lord God Almighty, it's the uppercase L, K, and G. And when it refers to all the others, it's the lowercase. God is the greatest of all gods, but he is yet just one of many from which we can choose. And our sin many times causes us to choose the imitation as opposed to the real McCoy. I do some of the grocery shopping in our household. Matter of fact, I have, and Tammy does too, a specific iPhone app. It's called Our Groceries. Anybody have that one? So that when you go to HEB, you know, we used to do the list, but now we do this little phone application. So we share the application so that when we need something, that if I put down bananas, it shows up on my list, but it also shows up on her phone. And if she puts down milk, well, it shows up on her phone, but it also shows up on my phone. So that when one of us goes to the store, and we usually go to HEB, we have a complete list. Well, a while back, Tammy put Windex on the list. And it came up on my list, and so I was at the store, and I went down that home cleaner aisle, and I found this Hill Country Fair product. It's called Glass Cleaner. And the best thing about it is, look at the very bottom right there, was the price, 97 cents. And right next door to it was the product called Windex, and it was like $3.50. So what did I do? I did as any good German would do, because I'm half German. I did what I thought was the smart thing, and I bought that HEB brand. Was that the right thing to do, Bobby? No, that was the wrong thing, because when I got home, I was told that the HEB cleaner leaves streaks, and it's the Windex, the real deal, which doesn't. They are not the same products. One's the real thing, and one is a cheap imitation. We live in a world where there are many, many imitations when it comes to our faith and what we prioritize. We can actually call these things false gods or idols, especially when we're tempted to invest a certain amount of our faith. And of course, we don't have the same kind of idols and false gods that the people manufactured back in the Bible days out of gold and silver and wood, but we still do have idols that we manufacture today. Some are made out of gold and silver and wood and paper bills and success, popularity, accumulation of stuff, sometimes at the expense of our morals, achievements at the cost of, at times, our ethics, intimate relationships at times when we compromise our values. Make no mistake that our American culture has created our own version of modern-day idols and gods. Note this definition, that an idol or a false god is anything or anyone that we place or pursue ahead of God or God's word or God's will. You'll hear that 3 or 4 times during this message. An idol or a false god is anything or anyone that we place or pursue ahead of God, God's word, or God's will. Some of the things that fall into the other god category are bad right off the bat. Things like pursuing someone else's spouse, ill-gotten goods, too much of the bottle, other addictions, and so forth. These are some of the easy other gods to identify. But again, remember the definition. A god is anything or anyone we place or pursue ahead of God, God's word, or God's will. Which means that a false god can actually be something good, something very good, which we elevate to too high of a position. For example, believe it or not, exercise can be a god. Hunting, fishing, camping, sports, hobbies, all of these can be gods if or when we place too high of a value on them. Money, work, success, winning, personal relationships, all these can be false gods if they cause us to make concessions in order to achieve them. Such things as TV, certain TV shows, electronic devices, Facebook, popularity, overindulgences of food, sweets, alcoholic beverages, control, tolerance, sleep, sex, and self. Even family can become a god if we allow it to override that God is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and God of Gods in our life. See, all these things that I just mentioned are all good gifts and blessings from God, but not to be raised to the place that distracts us from God as being number one. All are blessings in proportion, in the correct order. But again, remember the definition. A god is anything or anyone we place or pursue ahead of God, God's word, or God's will. There was a man and woman who were in a Bible study. They were having a debate, you might say, about this other God thing, about how good things can actually be gods. The woman shouted at the man, "Excuse me, how can family be a god?" The man answered, "Where are you on Sunday mornings?" The woman defended herself, "Why, I'm home cooking a big meal for my grown kids and my grandkids that come over every single Sunday. It's the only time we can all get together." The man said, "That's good. That's a good life choice. Good for you, good for your family." But he went on to boldly ask, "So where are you on Saturday nights when our church offers an optional service?" The woman shrinked. You got me there. A false god is anything or anyone we place or pursue above God, God's word, or God's will. And we're not just talking about occasionally, a few times, substituting someone or something for church on a Saturday night or a Sunday. That's totally understandable, particularly for people who work. And we're not even talking about who or what may compete with church on weekends. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what vies for our attention, what vies for our hearts versus God's will. What distracts us from being obedient to the Creator of heaven and earth and to His Word? What activity, good or bad, what relationship, what pursuit leads us to take the bait? It's just like a fishing lure. It can appear such a good choice for a hungry fish. But once that fish takes the bait, it finds out real fast that it put its pursuits in something that led to a very poor decision. And so it's when we overinvest, and I believe that to be the right word, when we overinvest, when we overembellish, when we overdo certain activities or people or pursuits that trump God or trump obedience to the Heavenly Father, that we're not investing ourselves in the eternal. And please don't hear me wrong. Not in any way saying that family or success, work, money, hobbies, education, Facebook, not saying that those innately are lures with hooks in them, but I am saying, as we said in the children's message, the devil will use just about anything or anyone, even the good stuff in life, to lure us, to pull us away, to distract us from God. And so as people of faith, we must be cautious that these good items don't become lures with hooks, allowing God to be less than what God calls Himself to be, first and foremost in our lives. You see, biblically, that's what happened in so many situations with so many of God's people. It's what happened in the beginning with Adam and Eve. God created the world, and what does it say? It says it was good. It was all good stuff. And He instructed Adam and Eve to not eat from a certain tree. And the devil took a good thing, fruit, to get the first couple to be distracted from God as being number one, God's word as being number one. Fruit became their god. It happened to Jacob. He wanted a jump start on his 401k for retirement. That was a good thing. But it let that ambition dupe his brother Esau, whereby he stole his inheritance. His god was greed. Ditto with Samson. Samson took a good gift. We call it sex. And he turned it into practicing it with multiple women. Samson's god was casual sex outside of marriage. King David used the God-given gift of authority to have the husband of the woman that David got pregnant to be killed in battle. King David's god was his abuse of power. Jonah was called to be obedient to God, to go and preach to the sinners at Nineveh, but instead he jumped a ship and went the other way. Jonah's god was controlling his own destiny as opposed to being obedient to God. And we know about Peter. Peter, when he asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples, he denied knowing Christ. His god was self-preservation. All these took the bait. They fell for following a false god. They basically made something or someone else more important than God at the time. And in, they came up short, empty, and some even dead. Last month, I attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes event here in town. Maybe some of you were there as well. It was sort of an Aggies event, but it was for all the FCA youth at the high school, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. This is Stephen McGee, and Stephen McGee is from down the road, Burnett, Texas. You may remember back, I don't know, it's probably been 10 years ago or so, he blistered the Billies. I mean, he was an all-state quarterback, and he had a rifle for an arm, so good that he then went to Texas A&M, and he was a superfine quarterback there. He was so good at that level that he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys and played a few seasons there. That's Stephen McGee. Well, McGee spoke about the big dream that most players want to make it to the pros. They want to get to the NFL where they can celebrate, and McGee mentioned these things: success, prestige, status, stardom, millions of dollars, and women galore. Any and all of these things can be good things, very good things. But any and all of these things can also become the focus of one's life. God's in the place of godly decisions and values. McGee went on to say that with all the success, all the millions of dollars, all the stardom, that 78% of all the players who go into the NFL leave the NFL within 3 years. And they fall, 78%, into one of three categories: either broke, on drugs, or in jail. Over 3/4 exit the pros within 3 years, pursuing these gods and ending up either short, empty, or in some cases, dead. All to say this as a reminder from this psalm: people and stuff make lousy gods. When we make something or someone other than God our God, it is not going to fill us with the very thing that we need to be filled with, and that is faith and trust in God our Father, our Savior who is Jesus the Christ, and our hope giver, the Holy Spirit. For all the money, all the success, all the security, and even family cannot save us from our sin, cannot resurrect us from the dead, cannot grant us eternal life. These are reserved solely for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the God of Gods. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa came and reminded me of a book study we did a couple of years ago. And her son, Tyler Kamen, just graduated from high school here. She recalled that this book study talked about the fact that we can teach our kids so many things, so many important, valuable lessons, so many necessary things, good things in this life. But the book went on to say that unless we teach our kids faith and trust in our Savior above all things, we fail as parents. I think that's the key. Faith above all things. We certainly want to enjoy the God-given gifts of all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. But we have to ask the question, above, what is above all things? And it gets me to thinking about this, about the fact that we have a Fredericksburg Billy fight song where people raise the horns with their hands. Whether it's victory, whether it's defeat, whether it's good or bad, it's the Billy battle cry. And what is that Billy battle cry? Über alles. Über alles, which means in German, over all. And so when we apply this to our faith, this is our daily battle cry. Über alles. Over all. Our faithfulness to God over all the other gods in this world. May He be uber alles, now and always. Amen.